Welcome to Song Talk Radio for this Monday, March 30th, 2015. Streaming to you live high atop the Song Talk Radio Towers at the Scope at Ryerson in Toronto, Canada. Song Talk Radio is the show with songwriters talking to other songwriters about the craft of songwriting and also songwriting. They can be fresh newbies or established professional songwriters, anything in between. Together, we will share tips, we'll share techniques, and we'll share cool things found, and all together, we all become a little bit better at writing songs. Tonight, I'll be your host. My name is Phil Emery, and joining me tonight, as always, is the stalwart members of the Song Talk Radio crew, the irascible Dr. Bruce Herrett.
I feel so stalwart. Yeah. Thank you.
And, of course, the first officer, Mr. Modi. Hello,
hey.
Mr. Modi.
Greetings, Mr. Emery.
And of course, on our social media today, we have Janice. Hey, Janice. Say hi, Janice.
Hi.
There you go. And don't forget, we always love hearing from you, so please send your thoughts, complaints, and corrections to feedback@songtalk.ca. And you can find us on Twitter @songtalkradio or by using the hashtag songtalk. During the show, you can send us your thoughts and we'll share them live in real time. You can find us on Facebook and at YouTube @songtalkradio. And now you can subscribe to the podcast feed via the iTunes podcast directory or at Stitcher.com. And if you like the show, please rate and leave a review there, because that way other people can find the show. iTunes will actually put us up in the listings, and it makes it better for everyone.
Please help.
Please help. And please stop by our website at songtalk.ca and find out how you can be a guest on our show. And, of course, we have a very different kind of show today, because we have our special guest. So we have, as our co-host, the one and only, Eric.
Oh, my, what a pause. It's hard to follow.
It's true.
You forgot your name.
I think I've gotten into the
the dramatic pause.
The William Shatner kind of dramatic pause.
It works well on radio.
Because our guest tonight is our very own Neil Modi.
Yes.
And, of course, Peter.
Welcome.
How are you, Peter?
Fine, thanks.
Now, let me get your little bit of intro here. Neil and Peter met at the Songwriters Cafe meetup group in 2014 and have collaborated on several songs since. Peter's compelling and sometimes intense lyrics and unique vocal style paired with Neil's beats and catchy keyboard riffs have resulted in some eclectic and unconventional music. Welcome, fellows.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Great.
So you guys, how many songs have you guys worked on? Because I know you've done a bunch.
We've sort of finished three-ish, but we've done maybe a few more.
Yeah, I think probably around a half dozen.
Half dozen, right.
Yeah, probably something
enough. That are at least in some kind of state as to be kind of finished.
So what made you guys decide to sort of pair up?
Well, I came, I don't play anything, and Neil is, Neil does.
Neil plays everything.
Neil does everything, and so it was perfect. I do nothing, he does everything, and it all goes smoothly.
Well, it's a good pairing, because I'm primarily an instrumentalist, and Peter's primarily a lyricist and singer, so...
Well, and, you know, collaborating with someone who has actually different strengths than you do is a great way of actually making your life a lot easier, and actually a great way of learning how other people do stuff.
Exactly.
Because, you know, my lyrics are also... I feel my weakest point. It takes me forever to write them. But when you deal with someone who really knows how to write lyrics, they can write, like, incredible lyrics in, like, 20 minutes.
And yeah,
it's such
exactly.
It's such a different strength to bring in. So, now you've... are you made mostly a poet first, would you say? Or?
Well, I've written a lot of prose that haven't... a lot of sort of unfinished novels. So,
okay.
And songs... I think songs... I kind of have ADD, and songs are kind of perfect because you can finish them.
Okay.
So that's that's it's a very merciful art form in that sense. Good, bad, or indifferent, you can finish them, and that's
So now, when you're writing, are you writing actual songs, or are you writing poems and then putting them to music, or how are you approaching it?
Usually, there's some kind of musical worm in my brain. So it is very slight. Like I obviously don't. Wouldn't know how to write a sophisticated arrangement of any kind.
Right.
But usually there's something like a beat or some slight melody, and that allows me to sort of hook a rhyme scheme usually onto it. And that's kind of... And usually if something's bothering me, it's a good outlet for right. for that kind of thing.
So now you have written straight prose, though.
Yeah, yeah, right. Yeah.
So when did you start writing poetry?
I first started writing songs, trying to write songs in my teens, just without knowing any music, because I've never played an instrument, and I fell in love with rock and roll at some point in my teens, and it kind of took over, you know, my enthusiasms, you know, completely. So I started to, you know, write very derivative stuff, and then, you know, probably over the years, slightly less derivative stuff.
Well, I think we've all, you know,
That's how it goes. You write a song and you realize, oh, that's a Cure song, and then you move on and you write something else.
And then you change to chords, and then it's your song.
That's right. Yeah.
Well, there's a famous joke about a composition student who ran out of time on his thesis, so he took his professor's thesis and then wrote it backwards and upside down, and then handed that in, and got expelled for handing in Beethoven's Fifth Symphony.
That's hilarious.
So if you're taking composition at U of T, you're laughing your ass off.
Always a music joke.
Yes.
Oh, very much so.
Yes.
Plagiarism joke.
Do you remember the first sort of song that you wrote?
Yeah, probably. You know, it's embarrassing, most likely. I think the first one I wrote that sort of, I thought, I mean, I've always wanted to sort of find people who can play.
Right.
And so that's kind of tricky, especially because I don't have the strongest voice or you know, anything like that. But, I guess it started, you know, sort of went on in my 20s. Sorry, go ahead.
Oh, nothing.
Oh, okay.
So in your 20s is when you started?
Yeah, well, in my teens and then sort of more in my 20s. It sort of started to, at some point, there were things that I, probably songs that I could actually present at this age and stand by.
Right.
Probably, I'm trying to think what the earliest one would be. Maybe, you know, 21 or 22, first time I wrote something that wasn't kind of, that I wouldn't be embarrassed about now.
Okay. So looking at the stuff that we're going to be going over tonight, do you ever write about love?
Yeah, I do, I do.
You? Okay.
I do.
None of this seems to be about love.
Well, Rush to Me is. We'll play it later.
I think it's more of a lust, but that's open for interpretation.
It's actually about erotic.
That's just another pronunciation of the word love,
exactly,
is it not?
Right.
It's actually about erotic terror, and I've written a lot of songs about that.
About erotic terror.
That specific emotion, which is for. Which says way more about me than I should probably own up to.
I can relate.
Yeah. I think a lot of men can. Like, that's a very, and, you know, probably women on the other side, but I think that's a very, one of the most powerful and terrifying forms of terror is...
Very primal, too.
Very primal, right. Yeah, because it's, and it seems to come up a lot for me.
So, now, I know Neil has collaborated with a bunch of people.
Yes.
Have you collaborated with many people?
Not as many as I'd like. I'd like to, you know, I've collaborated a little bit with Eric.
Yes, full disclosure.
Yeah. And,
conflicts of interest.
And a couple of, maybe one other, yeah, and Jean-Luc, who's, has he been on the show?
Jean-Luc's been on the show.
Yeah. Okay, yeah. So, yeah, I'd like to collaborate, you know. Love to collaborate with you, for instance.
Right. Well,
so, instrumentalists looking for a collaboration based on erotic terror.
That's
call
not
now.
That's not my. That's not my whole oeuvre. That's no, not like. A, that's not the whole palette. But yeah.
So, for people who haven't actually done any collaboration, how can you give them any tips? Stuff that you sort of come across.
Find somebody like Neil. Who really can kind of. Basically, you can just sit in the passenger seat and let him take the. You know.
Yeah.
Neil's very versatile and, you know, and writes, you know, comes up with great rhythms when he mixes the songs. Usually, you know, we just start out with you playing piano. And
yeah, so I'll sit down at the piano, come up with a little ditty of some kind, and Peter will whip out his binder of lyrics and, you know, grab a sheet, and then, you know, based on his melody, based on my thing, it just sort of comes together after a few tries.
Oh, cool!
Right,
okay.
and then we have to go back and sort of think about what are the changes that could happen in the song, musical changes,
shift in tone. You sort of record the song and kind of listen to it after, and then come back and
yeah, exactly. Like you sort of work through it a few times and have it recording as we go along and listen back. And so, okay, well, this could be a little.
Do
bit
you
different.
Use like a click track or a beat track?
No, when we're doing it on the fly, we're just doing it literally just piano and voice.
Free time.
Free time.
Okay.
Free time.
Yeah. So then, how do you add drums?
Very painfully.
Painfully. Slowly and
painfully.
It's
hard. The second song, actually, that we're going to play tonight, it was, I think we took literally the last free recording we did, and then I arranged everything, drums, bass, guitar, after
on
that.
Top of it.
On top
oh,
of it.
Really?
That's a skill.
Which is a little bit harder. That's why it's a little bit kind of funny.
Don't try that at home.
It's one of those decisions at the beginning of your recording session that you say, we're either going to the click or we're winging it, and well, sometimes you can pull it off.
Yeah, the problem with that song is the chorus is a different tempo than the verse. So
that's one of the problems.
I personally, every time I've recorded with a band, the producers always want us to use a click.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking, okay, the Beatles didn't use a click.
Well, they did. His name was Ringo.
Ringo was pretty solid.
Yeah, yeah.
But, they, real bands sort of speed up and slow down.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And, but when you're recording on your own, it's tough to...
Well, especially when recording one at a time. I mean, the Beatles did it. At least they got the rhythm section all at once. So they're all in sync. And then if you put vocals or whatever on top of that...
It's a lot of pressure on your drummer to lay down a drum track without the click. And expect it, if it doesn't fall into place perfectly, then it's, it's his
drummer's fault.
If you can start off with the drums, and then you can do it. But trying to play drums to an existing track is...
That's also hard,
So... Yeah, is there any other tips for collaborating that you'd, about in terms of process, about how to sort of deal with disagreements?
When we get to it, I think a cool point about Rush to Me, the second song, is that the chorus just kind of happened, didn't it, Peter? Mm-hmm. I literally just played a piano riff, and you came up, it wasn't an existing lyric that you were using or modifying, you just came up with a new thing, and it was just sort of very intuitive that way, and it just sort of happened like that.
Well, okay.
So I think the important thing is if you come with a plan, even... give yourself the flexibility to be spontaneous.
Right. Mm. And the thing, I don't know about, you guys, if you've collaborating with people, collaborating is a lot like dating, because you have different chemistry with different people. And some people, it's just magic, and other times you can kind of get something if you work really hard, and there's other times it just doesn't work at all.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I've experienced that. Yeah, a couple of times, because I've wanted to branch out from working on my own the past few years, and it's sort of like no harm, no foul. Like if you meet with them for one time, have an honest exchange, and just say, this isn't quite, it's not flying. And I really encourage people to be brave enough to just say that. Like go and meet with someone, try it out, but no expectations of it being brilliant or it's all going to work perfectly.
Yeah.
And just it's like a coffee date, right? And you say, no, let's move on. And but you don't know. That's the thing is you don't know. The third person you meet with, it might be like bang, and you write a song in an hour.
Yeah.
And it's just,
you just don't
lands.
Yeah.
You don't know.
Yeah. It's really hard predicting.
And I think Neil and Peter are saying the value is in kind of getting outside of your comfort zone, your typical, writing corner, and opening yourself up to that spontaneous experience that you're probably not going to stumble across without that collaboration.
Yeah, for definitely. Sure. I mean, especially if you find yourself in a musical rut, I think collaborating with someone is a great way to open it up.
Mm-hmm. Sure. Yeah.
Do you want to hear a song?
Well, I think we should, actually.
I just happen to have one here.
Okay. And the first song we're going to be hearing is, I believe, is it the Those
Things?
Those things.
Yeah.
All right. And do you guys want to say anything about it?
Should we maybe say something after, or should we say it before?
Probably do both.
Okay.
You are the stars.
Well, Neil had this fantastic sort of organ riff that sort of sounded a bit to me like Ray Charles. But it probably doesn't sound like Ray Charles, but it sounded to me like that at the time. And
yeah, it was kind of groovy and I don't know. Yeah,
and then you had that great that middle part. Maybe we should just play it. I don't know. Do you have anything to say?
Yeah, I think just in terms of process, I think it started out with this neat little electronic piano riff that I came up with, and then. Did you write these lyrics on the fly during the session?
I grabbed it out. They were in my notebook, on consecutive pages of my notebook, and
you
they just
consolidated from
they just happened to fit.
Okay.
It was really weird because it was two different.
The middle lyrics are from two different songs.
Two different sort of poems, and I just kind of they didn't perfectly fit. I just sort of stretched them out a little bit, and I didn't even connect them, but somehow they connected through the song. So it was the first thing we ever did.
Yeah.
It was really lucky. It was was kind of, wow, that was
like
surprising. That went surprisingly well.
Yeah.
Brilliant. Yeah. Okay. Let's hear it. Those Things by Neil and Peter.
Can you live without
That was Those Things by Neil and Peter. And, of course, you're listening to Song Talk Radio. I love this song.
Cool.
It's, this really it makes me think of, you know, Lou Reed and the Velvet Underground.
Devo.
There's a brilliant band from the 70s called Suicide, which reminds me a bit of this. I just love the way you throw these lyrics out in I'm not going to say in a non-standard kind of way,
mm-hmm.
But it's really interesting. My problem with a lot of bands is sometimes they have good vocalists, but they're not particularly interesting vocalists. And I've always preferred people who are more interesting,
polished and yeah.
And,
yeah.
And you got such you have this great kind of style, the kind of Lou Reed drawl, and a way of you hit these words and you kind of. And the stuff you write about, you know, then take you back in time to old town San Francisco.
I love that's my favorite line.
The hippies, psychedelia and disco.
That's my favorite line in this whole song.
I wish I could write stuff like this. I just, there's so much to like. And then you have that break, which starts on a G for those scoring at home. But this fantasy where it kind of goes slow in the piano part.
Yeah, Neil came up with that idea. That was brilliant.
So
that was
nice.
So here's the interesting thing about the break.
Yeah.
It's the same tempo. It's just minus the groovy rhythm.
Oh, interesting.
It's literally the same tempo and the vocal. And this is what I encouraged Peter to do at the time is draw that vocal line out. Like, don't do it as fast as the other verses,
yeah,
right?
Originally, we did it just as fast as the other eight lines in the middle.
Yeah.
And then Neil came up with this. Sort of, it was. I thought it was a brilliant idea.
Thank you.
So to create a sort of third, change in the song, I guess.
Well, because I think if you didn't have that, I think the song would get a bit sort of annoying towards the end.
Yeah.
But with that kind of breather, it really kind of opens it up, and then you kind of come back into it. And I think it's so cool.
Well, for those scoring at home, we have the chords in front of us here, so there's a little bit of a benefit. But that section, it starts on G, but to me it's the C minor at the end that really kind of clinches that bit.
Yeah.
It has a little bit of a, There's a few elements of the music that are, I'm going to say, Beatles-esque a little bit. Oh. That C minor and just the organ riff and the tempo of it. And I don't know that it's much of a direct comparison, but what it evokes in my mind is like Day Tripper or Paperback Writer.
Oh, wow. Kind of, oh, really? Okay. Cool.
Not like, too shabby company new.
Yeah. Yeah. No. It's yeah, yeah. So it's got this like a very much a lean forward, you know, kind of driving thing, and I also like the approach of, you know, Phil was talking about your vocals kind of not being, you know, this slick, polished, you know, here's what I'm going to deliver to you,
yeah,
but it's almost, you know, it's almost antagonistic. It's like, it's yeah, really, it's challenging
yeah, yeah,
you,
yeah,
and, you know, saying, you know, these ways that we, you know, delight in destroying ourselves or themselves by pursuing, or defiantly divide themselves by pursuing. You're really kind of challenging the listener to say, you know, to take a fresh look at various dependencies. I don't know, maybe you can go into a little more detail about what the content is there. But I really like that that kind of it's like he's like a little bit of a troublemaker, this character that's singing the song.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. A little mischievous.
Yeah. Right, right.
A bit of a disturber.
Yeah.
What'd you think there, Bruce?
I liked it because you could dance to it.
I give it a 10 out of 10.
No, really, I'm serious, yeah, is that it had such a wonderful hook. And for those folks listening at home, Neil is a drummer first, uh-huh, so the rhythms really move that song along. I love the contrast between the music that Neil put in there and the placing of the voice. The placing of the voice is in a kind of a, well, like a nasal tenor, so it's way up there in the, you know, vibrational scale of sound. And then Neil's put a whole bunch of stuff on the bottom there, right? Which really gives you this breadth of sonic breadth, I guess. Mm-hmm. Breadth. Never said that before, but that's what I'm trying to describe.
Yes.
Hey, that's a new band, isn't it? Sonic Breath.
Sonic Bread?
Yeah, Sonic Bread.
Sonic Bread.
Sonic Youth. Sonic Bread. Anyway, I really liked to, and I especially liked the break because when that riff kicked back in, boom, I just went, yay! Because it was like, here it comes again. And the folks here can witness, I was dancing for the whole song, right? I don't know how you can't dance to something like that, right? And then the kind of staccato, what Phil was saying, staccato vocal,
that's
really kind of hammering at you, but it's kind of also kind of like, what's the word? It's like you don't hear very often anymore.
Well, yeah, I think it's, I mean, there's not, because there's not, it's one of those things that's actually very hard to do.
Yeah.
And people who are really good at it, like Lou Reed or Iggy Pop, you know, like they just, they're able to deliver these lines, these very unconventional lines in a way that only they can do. Mm. And it's, and I just love it. Now, are you from, Peter, are you actually from Toronto?
Not since 1978, but I was born in Montreal, lived there till I was 14. So.
Oh, Montreal. Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
Because there's something very, this sounds like New York to me.
Mm.
I don't know what it is. It's just that kind of, you know, that the underground, you know, the bar scene in New York, it's a little bit dangerous.
Well, it's funny because as I was trying to think of a good example for the kind of troublemaker singer that I was thinking of, and the only person who came to mind was, now I've forgotten his name, but the singer of the New York Dolls.
Oh,
David Johansen?
Johansen, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
So interesting that you made that comparison as well.
Yeah, it's got that kind of, that great kind of feeling. And it's now, do you remember Ruddiness?
Yeah, I mean, it was... yeah, I guess I was just sort of dealing with probably the sort of with the issue of the song. I what's interesting, I guess, is that they come together. One is sort of a philosophical challenge to sort of refrain from desire because of all the negative things that can be associated with desire. And then I wrote on the next page, I wrote this total sort of kind of erotic, very, you know, erotic kind of vulgar erotic fantasy.
Right, right.
About, you know, just wanting to cream someone to the leather of a Jaguar motor car. Just this kind of complete id.
That is such a great line.
It's just this kind of... So, like, on one level, I guess it's a super ego and id thing, if anyone goes in for... I mean, Freud's very out of date, but I think it's
a metaphor. But those two things are very related.
They are.
So it works, right?
Like
Yeah, they do. They have to be...
It takes a different content, but it remains in the same theme.
So now when you're writing... your lyrics, are you constantly kind of going through them and fixing them, or you sort of put them down once and that's it, or?
Well, sometimes, you know, just things, I'll just write things down because to sort of get them out of my head or whatever and get release the tension of having it in my head, I guess. But, I mean, if I work on something with these, you know, we did some fine-tuning, obviously, because one of Neil's legitimate complaints is that I write wordy.
Yeah.
So I'm always loading, you know, three or four extra syllables per line sometimes.
Too many syllables.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it's hard to give up. Sorry, go ahead.
I don't want to interrupt, but I always think of it as, I don't know if you've ever read the liner notes of a Radiohead album, but I'm always shocked at how short the lyrics are. Mm-hmm. You say, how is that three verses? And Tom York has this ability to make one syllable last, you know, three bars. And so I always think of that, like the technique that Neil was asking you to do, try to stretch this one out.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Radiohead, I find, is a great example for, you know, well, what if we did just this one word on this line? And then the next word on the next line, and that's a way to kind of just pull back a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, which is like the direct opposite of this
approach. Total opposite of this approach, yeah.
It would be an interesting thing for our listeners to challenge themselves if you write very traditional kind of poppy songs, to actually force yourself to try to do a song like this with, you know, unconventional line structures. And because I think it's eye-opening, and I always find stuff like this really inspiring, but it's like I have tried doing it in the past and it's never been terribly successful.
You know what else might be cool is the idea of using that thing that Eric just talked about and put it right into one of these songs as a section, because then the delivery of the line, the structure of the line and everything would be such a shocker, right?
Right, right.
That like very, very, a lot of syllables and then just spend like four bars on one word.
On the same musical section.
Yes.
Yeah.
Right.
And
right.
So
yeah.
Like, you know, it's all theme and variation, right? So my big thing on the show is always talk about changes, right? So if you have words coming at you, syllables coming at you relentlessly for 321, then by the end you may say, okay, you know, I got enough.
Yeah.
And yet when you break it with something different and you come back, refresh, you come back and you go, oh, that's why I like that. You know, I really love that rat-a-tat-tat thing in contrast, right? And, but it's like Shakespeare used to write comic relief in his tragedies, because when you come back from the comic relief, it's even more powerful emotionally, right? The tragedy part. Well, that's my Shakespeare for the evening.
that's a good suggestion.
Yeah, and I mean, that's about art. Art is about contrast. And, and that's why, you know, that middle section is so nice. It just opens the song up so nicely.
Mm-hmm. Pretty good for your first collaboration, I have to say.
Do you have that sitting around, or did you come up with that on the spot?
The little riff, I came up with it on the spot.
Oh, that's amazing. Yeah.
I came up with it on the spot, but the first time we played it through, and then even the first few times we recorded it, I didn't change that riff at all. But then I've had to go back and thought, okay, we need a B section after the first two verses, and so I literally just took the same riff and took it up like a fifth, and that was it. So that gave us our B section, and then that bridge thing gave us our C section. So
it's a great little tune.
Okay, for those of you just joining us, you're listening to Song Talk Radio with Bruce, Neil, and Phil. I'm Eric, sitting in for Neil, who is in the guest seat tonight,
musical chairs,
showing us some of the collaborations he's done with Peter from the Songwriters Cafe. And this is the song, the show where songwriters talk to other songwriters about the craft of songwriting. So please send us your impressions and feedback via Twitter at Song Talk Radio, via email at feedback@songtalk.ca, Facebook, YouTube, at Song Talk, and you can also subscribe to the podcast on iTunes or Stitcher. Back to you, Phil.
Very good.
Well, thanks very much. So, Peter, how are you dealing with your ideas? I mean, do you have a notebook where you're just constantly writing stuff down, or...?
Yeah, I mean, it's sometimes, you know, some periods are more fertile than others. Sometimes it's, you know, get quite blocked and... But, you know, yeah, just to sort of keep a hold. I mean, most of it is crap. Most of what I write down is completely chaff. But every now, but you know, I guess that's part of the process. It's someone, you know, I guess you shouldn't edit yourself ahead of time. But
absolutely,
yeah.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Well, that's an interesting thing I've heard about people when they do collaborations, is they go into what they call a no zone, where you basically can't say no,
mm-hmm.
Where you know you're basically always open.
Yeah. Right.
And so you're not you're not censoring yourself, because what you might come up with a crappy idea, but that crappy idea
might turn into
might inspire like this genius riff by the other person.
Mm-hmm.
So you're never really sure where the inspiration.
Well, it's like the rules of improv, right?
That's right.
It's funny you say that, Phil, because I just had a conversation with a colleague today. He's an art director, graphic designer like yourself, and I'm coming from a writing background. We're talking about brainstorming, and I was talking about Edward de Bono, who created the phrase lateral thinking, where he wrote a book about it.
Oh, okay.
And he has another book called The Seven Thinking Hats. What he's saying is, when you get together with people, make sure you're all wearing the same hat at the same time.
Mm. Oh, right.
Meaning, if there's collaborators, you're going to both brainstorm and say, later we'll edit.
Yeah.
And then when you're editing, both put on the editing hat.
Mm.
But it's like having, if one is brainstorming and one's editing, what you have is the gas pedal down and the brake on at the same time. Mm. So here's my suggestion to you kids out there. When you're collaborating, make a decision that now is the no-no, yes. Everything's yes. It goes down, it goes out, and nobody is allowed to say, well, that won't work. We tried that last year.
Yeah.
No, you don't say that. It breaks the flow. It breaks the excitement of developing new ideas, right?
Yeah.
And like you say, the thing about creativity is when you're most free and most crazy and talking about crazy stuff is when you get really original ideas.
Yeah.
Right?
Exactly.
So that's what I believe.
And I think that's the thing about collaborating is some people you'll collaborate with won't necessarily be that open or open in the same way.
Mm-hmm.
So, mm-hmm. You know, that can be kind of...
You have to drink, I think. Both of you have to drink.
I think even just coming from the perspective that, like you were saying, Neil, Peter, most of what I write is crap. I think any good writer will kind of acknowledge that, and you have to write, 100 pages of drivel to get that one, chapter or segment, paragraph, whatever it is, to get through it. So it's kind of like priming the pump. And if you're not in a brainstorming situation where you have to kind of defend those ideas that you may not even really want to defend, you just kind of want to get them out there.
A forum on Reddit, and someone was asking about songwriting blockages, and I was saying, what you should do is always start off with the ideas, okay, this isn't going to be very good, this is just something to start.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And that turns off your inner critic, and that allows you to kind of work on stuff, and then before you know it, you got something great.
Yeah, write the hackiest song you can imagine.
Yeah.
Block out the superego,
and you'll find it's not so bad.
Yeah. Exactly. The superego is the judge, right?
It is.
Do you want to hear another song?
Society of Agent in the Mind.
Yes.
Someone's called it once.
What will be the next song?
Rush to Me,
all right, and... Do you want to say anything about it?
I think this was kind of...
Neil had a sort of guitar track on, that he, from on his sort of, how we, well,
the,
on his
the,
computer that
no,
he...
The,
that he,
the guitar track was for this one.
No, but that you wrote. It sounded like electric guitar, and it was a really interesting track. It had a lot of tension, kind of. It reminded me a little, in terms of just like this kind of, like... Everlong, do you know that song by the Foo Fighters?
It's a
really powerful
song.
It's almost like just comes out of the earth.
Yeah.
Sorry?
I still think that's their best song.
I totally agree.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah,
and have you ever heard them do it acoustically? It sounds incredible.
I have heard, yeah.
It's an amazing song. Yeah.
All right, so this song starts on an E minor, so just everyone there. And this will be Rush to Me by Neil and Peter.
Everything is everywhere, crossed in space, crying to be reached but so afraid. A million things are happening every day that only make sense a million miles away. A shattering of fragments, free at last, the mercy that goes by at the speed of glass. Just beyond my overreach and grasp, the way you make my heart beat a bit too fast. The peace and nakedness of your chilling face, the blessing of your beauty is my disgrace. Underneath your spell now, lost again, so stricken by your young blood medicine. Rush to me, rush to me. touching me. Brush against my skin and blow me away. Make from this moment a brand new day. Rush to me, rush to me, rush to me. The shock of meeting your stern socket's gaze, the unwelcome greeting of your perfect face. I know this isn't just another phase. I know that I am being torn away. I know my life is being blown apart as I lose a hold of my own sacred heart by surrendering to you my everything. And I'm already yours, won't be mine again as I vanish ever deep beneath your primal thrall. Knowing that I feel too much to ever have you all, but every inch of you is all I'm waiting for. And the closer you come, I only want you more and more.
That was Rush to Me by Neil and Peter, and you're listening to Song Talk Radio with Bruce, Neil, and Phil. And, of course, our guest tonight is Neil and Peter. all right. Another really cool song. It's interesting because we're all taking notes on lyric sheets, and Eric and I are always kind of underlining the same thing. So I'll let Eric go first.
Okay, great, because you took my great rhyme San Francisco Disco last time, right? I really like the rhymes. There's a few phrases that stand out. Again, in medicine, I like those rhymes that are, just a little unexpected. And some interesting phrases like the speed of glass.
Mm. Isn't that cool?
Which it just, oh, it has this, like you're wondering if you heard it correctly, and then you're wondering about a car accident, and then you go, no, I need to keep listening and go on. So it kind of leaves you
so
wanting
original,
to digest it.
But it's so original.
Yeah.
That's what I love about it. It's so, and that's what art's supposed to do. It's what allow you to experience something like it's
something
the first
new.
Time.
Yeah.
The first time that you've ever, and it's just such a great line, speed of glass.
Yeah, so there's a few phrases in there that I really liked. What is it? Every inch of you is all I'm waiting for. So it's kind of like a little bit of subverting people's expectations with the beginning of the phrase. And then musically, there was a really nice progression. So, it starts off with that kind of tense piano line. And then, after the... I don't know if this is verse one or halfway through, but the nice little side stick and drums come in, and it's layered up very nicely. And then you go a little further, and the bass line comes in. You come towards the end, and that nice kind of piercing guitar comes in. And there are just a really liked, I guess this is the third verse there. I know this isn't just another phase, and you went up a little higher to modify the vocal a little bit, and I thought that it came across as kind of building the tension even more. So that's what I liked about it.
Yeah. How about you, Bruce?
I liked it because you could dance to it. No. I mean, I decided not to have the lyrics in front of me because I'm essentially a lyricist. I've been doing that all my life. And I just wanted tonight to get in the zone of the rhythm section because I don't listen to it enough. Somebody at a meetup, well, we have this songwriters meetup, and somebody said, well, write your song starting with the bass line. That is so foreign to me to even think about that.
Who would say such a thing?
What a strange idea.
I write tons of songs.
I think it was Philly. But, Phil plays the bass, and I don't. But so the thing is, I play guitar. So anyway, what I want to say about Neil's track, I mean, Neil's part of this collaboration, the lyrics are cool, and the delivery and the the split. It got into sections, so there's some contrast. It's, you know, I would say the style is relentless. Mm. It's relentless, right? And it's just got to be a certain mood to really drive into this stuff. And it's really, I think it's demanding of the listener. I think that's great. What I really noticed, because Neil is a drummer, is I noticed how he built the rhythm track so beautifully. From there was a kick in there, and then there was kind of like a snare thing happening with the snare on. What's it called? Just a stick on a block kind of thing, and all these little things. And he threw in that guitar lick that you were talking about there, Eric. But it's, you know, it's really an art to support a singer properly, right? Mm-hmm. And in this style, which is a very unusual style, it's not a standard pop song style. It takes even more creativity to support the singer properly, and you've done that. You've done that. You've created this. You know, like, I think the voice is up here and it's all over, wow, and then you've got this thing, I'm holding my hands, like, supportive, it's like, hold the song together, anchor it, right? Yeah. You know, they say parents should give their children roots and branches, right? So they're grounded in roots of values and they have branches to reach out and try more things. I think of the lyric as the branches, and Neil's section as the roots of the song. Like, they keep it grounded, because without that, I think that kind of high pitch, the vocal and the lyric would fly off into space. But this particular collaboration is, I can't explain, except it holds, it gives it a cohesion.
Yeah.
Right? There's a big word for tonight. Cohesion. It's a cohesion song.
Cohesive.
That's all I have to say for now.
Yeah, Neil, I mean, I have an obsessive quality, and Neil is very good at sort of creating these little accents that sort of create differences in what is, you know, what I'm doing is pretty flat, and Neil creates all these little moments, where you mix in all these different, and they're just perfect.
Yeah, I mean, I remember when we jammed on this song that it was kind of, I played that little piano ditty, and actually, incidentally, when I played the finished song for my wife, she took one listen and said, that's the song from Dirty Dancing. The Patrick Swayze, whatever. Anyway.
What you originally wrote was slightly different. It was on guitar.
Yes. So but then I rewrote for this. But because Peter's lyrics are just so relentless like that, that I figured I needed some kind of change in there. So part of it came from the arrangement, but part of it came from taking a complete 360 for the chorus.
Well, you know, it's interesting because I almost didn't like the chorus the first time I heard it.
Right.
But the second time, I actually really liked it.
Okay.
It was kind of interesting. At first, I sort of thought, gee, that's not the strongest chorus. But then I think it really does kind of grow on you by the second time.
Okay. For me. Is it kind of jarring the first time around?
It just seemed a little...
It's got a classic rock feel to me, more so than the verse. I don't think that's a bad thing.
Maybe I felt it was kind of clunky going into it. But it's just, like, I think it is the perfect thing. And actually, by the second one, I really liked it.
Cool.
So, you know, which is what you want, you know?
It's funny how sometimes, like, your favorite song on an album, the first listen through, you're like, oh, I don't really like that one.
Yeah.
And then you listen several times later, and that becomes your favorite song.
Yeah. Happens to everybody.
True that, yeah.
All
right, and for those of you just joining us, you're listening to Song Talk Radio with Bruce, Neil, and Phil. And the show started off as the Songwriters Meetup. Cafe meetup that happens once a month at the Transact Club in Toronto, Canada. And when's the next meetup?
April 23rd.
April 23rd, which is Thursday
night.
Thursday night from 7 to
10 p.m.
7 to 10?
10
we know these things like the back of our
sticking around a little later.
Go to meetup.
Yeah, go to meetup.com/songwriterscafe.
It's on the internet. We don't have to remember.
And it's a great evening. You come out, everyone plays a song, and you get supportive feedback. You meet great guys like Peter and Neil, and sometimes I'm there.
And there's beer. There's beer.
And there's beer, too, which is really good. And Transact is such a fantastic place.
Great venue.
And
there's a piano.
And there's a piano.
And it's a great way to get yourself on the show.
Yes.
Right. And I forgot to mention earlier, on Monday, April 6th, we have Tim Stead with The Scenic Sound coming up, appearing on the show. And then on April 13th, it's Sonia Sealer.
Sonia Sealer,
So looking forward to that.
And
yes.
Talented,
come out to the meetup, and you can put your name in the hat to get on the show.
Yes, definitely. Yeah. Okay, we're, of course, running out of time, so let's have the final song, which is The Tyrant.
Oh, boy.
And, with no setup. No setup this time.
No setup?
No setup?
No, I'm just suggesting that.
Okay. I'm cool with that.
Okay, you ready?
Okay. Bruce has The Tyrant.
I am The Tyrant.
The Tyrant by Neil and
Do not.
Peter.
rejoice, do not rejoice, all you free women and free men. For though it once took us all to defeat the bastard, the bitch who bore him is in heat again. So do not rejoice, do not rejoice, all you free women and free men. For though it once took us all to defeat the bastard, the bitch who bore him is in heat again. Now if you want a picture of the future, imagine a boot stomping on a human face forever. Yes, I am the tyrant, remorseless, defiant. No, you'll never be rid of me. I've got more heads than a hydra. Cut one of mine off and I'll come back at the world with rain. Yes, I am the tyrant, murderous, self-reliant. Treat my subject just like common prey. Till all the opponents fall silent to my informants and forces. Better watch out what you do or say. Cause if you want a picture of the future, imagine a boot stomping on your human face forever. Yes, I've always been worshipped. What you fear turned to love as you bend to my superior will. A power's my sacred purpose with my message, the thing for believe, obey, and tell. I'll use the state apparatus to hold a lot of you captive as for my favor you compete and fall. And with propaganda's siren song to the masses, my praises you'll all sing along. Cause if you want a picture of your future, imagine me stomping on your face, your faith and your fate forever. Yes, I am the tyrant, holding all enterprise of me. Well, and you might prosper too. I'm like a giant spider, trapping your motives like flies. Break your wings, my webs all over you. Yes, I am the tyrant, and I'll keep you too frightened to ever think for yourself. I'm like a permanent migraine in the soul of your brain, restraining you's how I maintain my health. Cause I am the tyrant, limitlessly entitled to use you all as I please. I'm part savior and pirate, pillage and preserve the nations, resources from my enemies. Yes, I am the tyrant, here's my final fuck you to you and lands still relatively free. Yes, you can shove your human rights right up your decadent assholes, all your faggot-loving democracy. Yes, I am the tyrant, hawk, serpent, and lion. And once again, you all must answer to me. And with no one bold enough to hold my big old feet to the fire, I'm reveling in your cowardice and idolatry.
Woo!
All right, nice.
Mm-hmm. That was The Tyrant. Music by Neil Modi and lyrics by Peter Gottlieb. Brilliant. I really love the chorus, which I think is the chorus. I don't know what it is. See, now, if you want to see a picture of the future, imagine a boot stomping on a human face forever, which is, of course, from 1984.
That's right. That's right.
Is that what that's from?
It's from, yeah, George Orwell.
Yeah, we haven't read that.
Could you not read that?
I have read it. I just don't remember that. I've read it in high school.
Yeah, it's a really cool song with that great delivery.
The opening bit is the part that's a cappella is from Bertolt Brecht. So there's I've never actually heard it. I just read it once in the paper. Those lines about Hitler Do not rejoice although you know we killed the bastard, the bitch that bore him is in heat again. And I just thought that was really that sort of that, I mean, this song, this was inspired by Vladimir Putin.
Right.
Because tyranny is on the march once again and chewing up a lot of real estate and a lot of lives, so.
Mm. Yeah.
Props to Putin.
Props. Well, at least we got a song out of it.
And Bertold. Did you call Bertold and tell him you're doing this?
I couldn't get his number.
Oh, well, unfortunately, he's a little dead.
Slightly. Yeah. Only mostly dead.
A lot of that going along around. Yeah. So, Bruce, what did you think?
Well, you know, I really liked, I think really what I would do with this one is I think it's not as successful in giving variety as the other two were. Mm-hmm. So all the songs are relentless, and I think what you've done, like in terms of their heavy-duty messages, right? And I'm not saying that's good or bad. They just are. And it's really a nice contrast after having a lot of folk singers sing about peace, love, and understanding.
Music, not boys and girls.
Like me. This is not folk music, but no, I appreciate it. So the thing is that you had a kind of a raunchy, crunchy guitar solo, basically running on one note through to back up the lyric.
Two chords, right? A two-chord song.
Yeah.
So I would, if I was to dig into this song with you, I think I would find a way to break it up somewhere, either a stop or a shift of some kind. Like, I know, see, so the thing is, like, okay, you can say, well, tyrants are relentless. Tyrants are, what they say, like, the most banal thing in the world is evil.
Yeah.
There was a book that came out called The Banality of Evil, right? It is banal. It's sick. It's just boring and stuck, and it's evil, and it's crap. And one could say that you could do a song with that relentlessness, both in terms of the musical structure and the thing. But I think what might be even more powerful is, you know, I was taught this years ago in theater, is that the scariest guy is the one that's most soft-spoken. Like the guy, the Godfather, didn't say, "I'm going to kill you." He said, "Listen, boy."
Hitler
was pretty scary.
Yeah.
And he wasn't quiet.
No, he wasn't quiet. No, but what I mean is that
Putin's not quiet either.
This is a loud, all I'll say is this is a loud song, and maybe, Neil, you could think about where you could put in some quiet besides at the top, because that was cool at the top, that act totally free of anything, and then when the beat came in, right?
Yeah, so I did struggle a lot with that in the song.
I really like it because I think the that chorus, and again, I don't know if it's chorus, but I'm calling it a chorus. Mm-hmm. That's what
B-part,
it sounds to
B-part.
Me. The now, if you want a picture, is really strong. I think the song is too long though, because there's not enough. But what you could do is because you have kind of like two sections in between the, you know, the chorus. You have the "Yes, I'm the tyrant." Then, "Yes, I'm a tyrant, murder, self-reliant," is that you could have taken the lyrics for the second part and kind of brought it up a fifth or a fourth.
Oh, okay.
And then kind of, and that would kind of give it a bit more sort of space.
Oh, a little more contour on the verse part.
Yeah.
A little more movement, yeah.
And a structure that builds, right? Because you still want to go from A to B. Whereas, you know, if you hit a high, if you hit an intensity and stay there too long, I think there's fatigue.
Yeah.
Listener well, yeah, fatigue, that's a problem. Right? Like, you know, if you start off at 9, 10 isn't very far.
Isn't not very far, yeah. I know
and that's
right.
What a producer told me. He says, if you want to sound really loud, play really, really quiet.
Quietly, yeah.
Because then when you play loud, it sounds incredibly loud.
Yeah. Or you could just turn up to 11.
Well, 11, yeah.
Give one of those kind of answers.
That's what they did at the rehearsal hall the other day, the rehearsal factory.
You know, some great images here.
12.
You know, I am the tyrant, hawk, serpent, and lion. Once again, you must answer to me.
I like the animal imagery, the giant spider trapping your motives like flies. And the one, like, I actually, just to wrap up with a comment on what Bruce was talking about, I think the balance is there between the intro being kind of this, you know, kind of whispered warning, watch out, there's trouble coming. And then the "Yes, I am the tyrant" is rather, you know, it's defiantly sung, and it's really kind of out there in your face, and I think that works for this song. The places where I might make a few adjustments are, and I only have one spot where I wrote this down, but it's again with the syllables, and I don't know that it so much applies to this song, because I think it is, you know, you almost picture the tyrant up on the podium in front of the masses, and you know he's saying what he wants to say, and it's not necessarily so artsy in that sense. But if, you know, maybe even as an exercise, I find this is a useful exercise, whether you end up with that as the final version or not, but strike out the unnecessary syllables, or even simplify words. So the one that got me was "to you in land still relatively free." Mm-hmm. Relatively felt a little rushed, and you know,
where was that again?
It's towards the end. I have it circled there. So what I would try is, you know, even something like "kind of." You know, it's a little more colloquial, and in this case, maybe you wouldn't want to use that because this is something, it's kind of a dramatic, you know, speech almost that's being delivered. So maybe you want to use relatively. But I would go through, you know, and just see how can I turn that into one syllable. I had a song I was working on recently, and I used the phrase, "looked into my eyes." But after the recording was done, I really wished I had used the other phrase, "looked me in the eyes," just because it was a little smoother to sing.
Mm-hmm.
One fewer T, mm-hmm. you know, just a little bit smoother. So, you know, if you can go through it and say, you know, where's the extra syllable? If I take this out, does the meaning still hold? That would be my suggestion for an exercise. But I like that balance between the whispered warning and the...
Yeah.
You know, the guy you really don't want to be listening to on the podium.
Well, and I just love the way you handle those lines, like the way you deliver them. Now, if you want a picture of the future, imagine, you know, the boot stopping thing, is that it's, you just delivered it so well that it's my favorite part. In fact,
we actually went through this a number of times, remember, Peter, trying to get your tone to be, because you did it a few times where it sounded downright mean. Like, really, really mean. Like, the version that we have now, I think, is a little bit... It's a little bit over the top. It's a little bit in your face. It's got a good balance. But we had a couple of versions where it wasn't...
Oh, yeah, we struggled with it for... the vocal, I mean, we definitely struggled with the vocal.
Yeah.
Did a lot of takes and sort of screamed.
Just trying to get that tone right.
Yeah, it takes a lot of work.
Where can people find this, your music, if they want to hear more?
It doesn't exist anywhere online yet, because I haven't really mixed them yet.
You'll have to stake out the Song Talk Towers.
Yes. Well, you know, follow songtalk.ca, and I'm sure we'll put up a link to that. And that's all the time we have tonight on Song Talk Radio with Bruce, Neil, and Phil. And, of course, we'd like to thank our guest, Peter Gottlieb, and of course Arden Holmes, Neil Modi.
Thank you guys.
Of course, and we'd like to thank The Scope and Ryerson for putting up with us, and we'd like to thank Janice Ho for manning our social media channel.
She was womaning, not manning.
And of course, we'd like to thank you, the home listener. Please subscribe to the podcast via iTunes and via Stitcher, and leave a rating or a review there to help others find the show. And please let us know what you think at feedback@songtalk.ca, on Twitter @songtalkradio, using the hashtag songtalk, and on Facebook and YouTube @songtalkradio. And if, of course, you are on Twitter, you can follow Neil at
Mondo Art,
and you can follow me at Noise _CA, and you can follow Janice at Janice Ho Tweets.
Wow. Yes. And me, you can find me on the web Nipigon, Nipigon, type Nipigon and Bruce Herrick, and you'll find my album.
And you can follow Mr. Eric at...
I am at Generic with a 3, G3N Eric.
That's right.
Oh, that's smart.
So you can follow
really
everyone.
Great handle.
And
great.
Don't forget to please stop by the website at songtalk.ca. You can browse past shows and find out how you can be a guest on our show. So that's it for everyone here. Thanks so much for listening, and we'll talk to you next week. Same Song Talk time, same Song Talk channel. Good night, everyone.
Night.
Night. Night.
Just for this one moment in time. So tell me, can you live without those things that people cling to, that people fight for, and defiantly divide themselves by pursuing? 'Cause if you can, if you can live without those things, then either you are oblivious and or oblivious or enlightened, or can you live without, you live without those things, those things, those things, those things, those things, those things, those things.